السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله we're going to cover آيات 111 to 115 of سورة المائدة today. We'll start off with the word meanings, beginning with ayah number 111 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa and idh, when, awhaytu, I did wahi. Wahi is the root word and that means a divine inspiration. Okay, and awhay means did wahi or indicated, inspired. Tu in the end means I. Ila to al-havariyina. Al in the beginning means the, and havari is the title that was given to the disciples of Isa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam's companions. Okay, so al-havariyina, the pure companions or the disciples, on that Aminu, you all believe. This word comes from Iman, which means to have faith, to believe. And this word ends in a vowelif, so we know that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing a lot of people in this word. Okay, so Aminu, you all believe, be in or with me. The ya at the end means me. Okay, so be in me or with me, but obviously for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala it means in me. So aminu bi, you all believe in me. Wa and be with rasuli. Rasul is the root word and that means a messenger, and the ya at the end means my. So wa bi rasuli and with my messenger. Qalu, they said. Now this verb is in the third person and is plural. It ends in vowelif, so we know it is plural. So qalu, they said, amanna. Amana means to believe, and then nun alif in the end means we. So amanna, we believed. Washhad, wa and ishhad, bear witness. This word comes from shahada, which means to testify, to be a witness. So washhada is a command, and we know because it starts off with that silent alif in the beginning. Washhada and bear witness bi annana, be with anna, that or indeed, na, we, muslimun, are ones who submit. Muslim is the root word and that means one who submits, one who surrenders to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And una ending makes this word plural. So bi annana, indeed we muslimun are ones who submit or surrender. Idh, when, qala, he said. Now this is in the third person, but since this word is, it normally means he said, but it's followed by the word al-havariyuna, so it refers to the havari. Okay, and the havari, yuna, that word is plural, so it refers to them, all of them. Qala, said al-havariyuna, the disciples or pure companions of Isa alayhi salam, ya Isa. Ya means O, Isa, Isa alayhi salam, Ibna, son, Maryama, of Mary. Hal is, this word is used to ask a question. So hal is yastati'u, Istata'a is the root word, and that means to be capable of doing something. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. So yastati'u, he is capable. Rabbuka, Rabb means Lord, creator, sustainer. So Rabbu, Lord, ka, yours. So is your Lord capable? An, that, yunazil, he sends down. Nazala is the root word, and that means to send down. Okay, to reveal. You in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person. So yunazila, he reveals or sends down. Alayna, alay, upon, na, us. Ma'idatan, ma'ida is a table spread. Min, from, as-sama'i, the sky or the heaven. Qala, he said. And this refers to Isa alayhi salam. So Isa alayhi salam said, ittaqu, you all adopt taqwa. You all fear Allah. You all safeguard yourselves. Allah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In, if, kuntum. Kun means to be. So with the tum, tum means all of you. So kuntum, you all are. Mu'mineen, ones who believe. This word comes from iman, which means belief. And mu'min, adding a meme in the beginning, makes this word a noun, and that means one who believes. And ina ending makes this word plural. So mu'mineen, ones who believe. Qalu, they said. Now this is about the companions of Isa alayhi salam. They said, nuridu, we want. Arada is the root word, and that means to want something, to wish for something. Noon in the beginning means we. So nuridu, we want, or we wish. An, that, na'kula, we eat. Akala means to eat. Okay, noon in the beginning means we. So na'kula, we eat. Min, from, ha, it. Wa, and. Tatma'inna, is satisfied. Kulubuna, kulub is plural for the word kulb, which means heart. Kulub, hearts, na, ours. So, tatma'inna, are satisfied. Kulubuna, our hearts. Wa, and. Na'alama, we know. Ilm is the root word, and that means to know something. Noon in the beginning means we. Okay, so wana'alama, and we know. An, that, qad, in fact. Sadaqatana. Sadaqa is the root word, and that means the truth, to say or speak the truth. Sidq means truthfulness. So sadaqata, you spoke the truth. Ta, in the middle, means you, and na means us. So sadaqatana, you spoke the truth to us. Wa, and nakuna. Kun is the root word here, and that means to be. And noon in the beginning means we. So wa nakuna, and we become. Alayha, alay, upon, ha, it, min, from. Ash-shahideen, those who are witnesses. Shahada is the root word, and that means a testimony. And shahid means somebody who is a witness. And ina ending makes this word plural. So mina shahideen means from or among. Ash-shahideen, those who are witnesses, or those who bear witness. Qala, he said. Isa, Isa alayhi salam, ibnu, son, Maryama of Maryam, Allahumma, O Allah. The humma at the end of the word Allah means O. Okay, we use this whenever we make a dua. Allahumma, O Allah, Rabbana, Rabba, Lord, Creator, Sustainer, Na, ours. Anzil, send down. Alayna, alay, upon, na, us, ma'idatan, a table spread. Min, from, as-sama'i, the sky or heaven. Takunu, it will be. Kun means to be. The ta in the beginning tells us this is in the third person. So takunu, it will be. Lana, la, for, na, all of us. Aidan, a festival. Aid is the root word, and Aid means a day of celebration. basically. So Eidan, a festival. Li for Avvalina. Avval means first, na of us. Va and Akhirina. Akhir, last, na us. Va and Ayatan, a sign, minka. Min from ka you. Varzukuna, va and rizq is the root word, and that means provision or sustenance. Varzuk, and you provide rizq or sustenance, na to us. Va and anta, you. Khairu, best. Arraziqeen, those who provide sustenance. So raziq means the one who provides sustenance, and ina ending makes this word plural. So khayru raziqin are best of those who provide sustenance. Qala, he said, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Note that the word Allah ends with a dhamma on the ha. So this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one doing something or saying something. So qala Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, inni, inni, indeed. And the ya at the end means I, munazziluha, munazzilu, one who sends down, ha it. Nazala means to send down. Mim in the beginning makes this word a noun. So munazzil, one who sends down gradually, ha it, alay, upon, kum, all of you. Fa, so, or then, man, whoever. Yakfur, he disbelieves. Kufr is the root word, and that means disbelief. Yakfur is a verb, and it's in the third person. It begins with a ya, so he disbelieves. Ba'du, after. Minkum, min, from. Kum, all of you. Fa'inni, fa, so. Inni, inni, indeed. And then the ya at the end means I. U'adhibuhu. Adab is the root word, and that means punishment. U in the beginning means I. So u'adhibu, I shall punish. Who? Him. Adaban, a punishment. La, not. U'adhibuhu, I punish it. Or I punish like it. Like the punishment. Ahadan, anyone. Min, from, or among. Al-alameen, the world. Al means the, and alameen, alam means world. Alameen is plural, so it means the world, or the universes. Alhamdulillah. Now we're going to start the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So in ayah number 110, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded Isa alayhi salam of the great favors that he bestowed on him. Now he reminds Isa alayhi salam of another favor in ayah number 111. He says, O Isa, وَإِذْ أَوْحَيْتُ إِلَى الْحَوَارِيِّينَ, and when I inspired the disciples. Now, who were the disciples? Who were the Hawariyin? We already learned about them in Surah Ali Imran. Okay, they were the companions of Isa alayhi salam. That's what Hawari means, a companion. Another meaning of this word is Hawar. Okay, Hawar, which means white, bright. Okay, and it comes from Ha, Waw, Ra, Hawar, and it means white or bright. They used to wash clothes for people for a living. Okay, they basically had a laundromat. That was the work they did for a living. They cleaned people's clothes. So they cleaned people's clothes to make them white, right? To make them clean. So that's also why they were called Hawari. And they were the only ones who believed in Isa alayhi salam. So they were given the title of Hawaris. Okay, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them. There are many other reasons that we can go over for why they were called Hawariyun, but we just need to know that the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were called Sahaba, and we all know that, and the companions of Isa alayhi salam were called Hawari. Okay, Hawariyun or Hawariyin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He did wahi to the Hawaris. He inspired. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that an angel brought down wahi to the Hawaris, just like an angel used to come to the messengers with a message? No, that's not what this means. The word wahi in Ohaitu actually means a sign, a secret sign. Okay, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that He did wahi to or inspired the disciples, he said the same thing about the bee in the Quran as well, that He did wahi to the bee. How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do wahi to the bee? He programmed the bee to make honey. So the bee collects nectar from flowers, different types of flowers, to make honey. It's just programmed that way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says about Umme Musa, the mother of Musa alayhi salam, that He did wahi to her, which means that He made her think of what she should do to protect her baby. Okay, He made her think of something. He put that thought in her head. That's why she put the baby in a basket and she let that basket float in the river. So wahi doesn't actually mean a message that's sent down through an angel. It doesn't specifically mean that. It can mean a divine inspiration, a feeling that just comes from within, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in someone's heart. And as for the disciples of Isa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired them to an aminu bi, to have faith in me, to believe in him, wa bi rasuli, and in my messenger. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired them to have faith in him and Isa alayhi salam, because he was his messenger at that time. So this tells us that whatever thoughts come to mind about doing good deeds, whatever we think of, whatever good deeds we want to do, those thoughts are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we suddenly think about doing something good, right? So whenever that happens, we should remember that that thought is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He chooses people to do things, and He decides whose mind He wants to put a thought in. And we know the state of our hearts changes often, right? It changes very quickly. So sometimes we get the urge to do something really good, and other times shaitan tries to make us slip, so we mess up. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to make the dua in Surah Ali Imran, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِيْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Right? So that dua means, oh our Lord, don't let our hearts deviate after you have guided us. So don't let them go off the right path. Okay, once you have guided us. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِيْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam often made another dua that says, يَا مُكَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِي عَلَىٰ دِينِكَ. O turner of the hearts, make my heart steadfast on your deen. Okay, we don't have to do it in Arabic, but of course it's a masnoon dua. Those words are blessed if we can. Otherwise, doing it in English is fine. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. So we should make this dua as well. Ya muqallibul qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenika. O turner of the heart, make my heart steadfast on your deen. As we learn from hadith, Our hearts are between the two fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can turn our heart whichever way He wants. Okay, towards goodness, or He can let it go astray. That's why He makes us want to do something good sometimes, because He gives us that ability. So when we're able to do something good, we shouldn't be proud of ourselves or become arrogant, because it's not due to our own ability that we do it. It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us the tawfiq to do it. He inspired us to do it. So there's no reason to be proud or show off about anything that He enables us to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He indicated to the disciples of Isa alayhi salam to believe in Him and to believe in His messenger, Isa alayhi salam. If you're wondering why He didn't inspire the other people to believe also, why just the disciples? We don't know the reason behind that, because we can't understand the wisdom behind all His decisions. Okay, we just don't get certain things. He knows the condition of people's hearts and decides for them. He knows who He wants to grant the ability to do something and who would be willing, right? He knows everyone's hearts better than our own selves. So He enabled the disciples to believe in Isa alayhi salam and Allah. So hadith tells us that there are two qareen. Okay, qarn means a companion. There are two qareen, two companions with each one of us. Okay, each and every one of us has two companions with us. One is an angel and the other is a devil. The angel tries to make us do good things. So whenever we think of doing something good, anything good, we should just do it right away without delaying or thinking too much into it. Okay, because otherwise, that tawfiq or the ability to do that good deed gets taken away. Or it just passes. That chance to do good just passes. And on the other hand, the devil within all of us tries to make us think of bad things. And it tries to get us to do bad deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that He indicated to the disciples. Okay, He inspired them. He cast something towards them, a feeling. Whatever He wanted them to do, He made them want to do it. So, qalu, amanna. They said, we believe. They believed right away, subhanAllah. Washhad bi annana muslimun. And bear witness that we have become Muslims. Now, they didn't say that they were Christians or Nasara because they were connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, they were not connecting to Christ. The Christians came up with their name because they wanted to connect to Christ, the title they gave Isa alayhi salam. But the disciples said that they were Muslims, and they were Muslims. They called themselves Muslim, just like Ibrahim alayhi salam had said that he was Muslim. And that is such a beautiful title that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to His beloved people, His obedient people, the people who were obedient to Him, those who submitted to Him. We should be proud to be called Muslims. Okay? So that title, Muslim, is not connected to any person like the titles for followers of other religions are. Our title, Muslim, means the one who submits. Okay, so we submit only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we should think about how well we have submitted. Have we really submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala well? Or do we choose when we want to submit to Him and when we don't? So the disciples said to Isa alayhi salam, bear witness that we are Muslim. Or maybe they made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a witness over this, that they were Muslim. This proves that they did not do shirk, They did not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They only believed that Isa alayhi salam was the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, they believed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was God, is God, and that Isa alayhi salam is the messenger. إِذْ قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ. Remember, when the disciples asked, now we'll go over their conversation, inshallah, what they talked about. So they said, يَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمْ. O Isa, son of Maryam. هَلْ يَسْتَطِيُّ رَبُّكَ أَنْ يُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Can your Rabb send down to us from heaven a tablespread with food? So they asked if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of doing it. But some say that they just asked because they were just requesting this to happen. Like when we ask someone if they can do something for us, right? We say, can you do this for me? That's what they meant. But some others say that they didn't know how to speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. How they were supposed to speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respectfully because they were new to Islam. So that's why they asked this. And we should all know that there are manners, etiquettes for speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't say the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala casually, like we do when it comes to other people. So we should say his name in an honorable way. Okay? And we should never complain or say it in a complaining sort of way, like to question something that happens. Like, oh, why did Allah do this to me? Or why did this have to happen? Na'udhu billah. Because we don't have the authority to question his decisions. So the Hawariyun were neo-Muslims, so they asked Isa alayhi salam if his Lord was capable of doing it. The scholars say that respect is the first step towards attaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we must have respect for him. Okay, love and respect. They asked about this, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to do anything. He is capable of doing everything, right? So they asked, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed us to speak about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a respectful way too, remember? When some of the Bedouins casually used to call out to him from behind, saying, Ya Muhammad, right? Oh Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed them not to do that, and he said that their good deeds can go to waste if they continue doing that. And so they were told not to address Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam so casually like they do each other. So of course we can't do that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we speak about Allah, we should do it with utmost respect. People speak about their parents in a respectful way, right? And about their elders. So of course we have to speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a respectful way and think carefully before we just blurt out whatever we want to say. Okay, we can't do that about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So qalattaqullah. So Isa alayhi salam says, have fear of Allah. Have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adopt taqwa of him. Be conscious of him. In kuntum mu'mineen, if you are true believers. Isa alayhi salam asked them why they would say such a thing. Okay, so he's basically saying, why are you asking for a table spread to come down from the sky with food on it that's already cooked? Why would you ask for such a thing? So he says, fear Allah if you're believers. But we know that the man and salwa had come down from the sky for the Bani Israel before. Right? The man and the salwa that we already learned about. So Isa alayhi salam's disciples said that the man and salwa had already come down from the sky for Musa alayhi salam's ummah before. So why couldn't Isa alayhi salam get a table spread from the sky for them? They meant that it shouldn't be such an issue, that it shouldn't be a problem. So they were just so focused on eating and drinking, it seems, right? That's why Isa alayhi salam was kind of annoyed. When Isa alayhi salam told them to fear Allah and be conscious of Him, قَالُوا, they said, نُرِيدُ أَن نَأْكُلَ مِنْهَا, we only wish to eat from it. They were so concerned about eating. And there are a lot of people like that nowadays who just think about eating and what to drink all the time. I mean, of course we need to eat to survive, but that shouldn't be all we think about. If our whole life revolves around what we're eating that day, or what we should cook, where we should go out to eat, it means that we are really distracted, okay, by food. That we're just using food to entertain ourselves. We have forgotten about the real purpose of life, which is to earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. We can't do anything productive in life if we're just so worried about having something different at each meal of the day. So many people end up wasting way too much time just preparing meals, grocery shopping, and then cooking and serving, and then storing the food, cleaning up afterwards. They just overdo it. Of course, it's necessary to do it, but they overdo it. So we should do these things within reasonable limits. We shouldn't be excessive, as if we were just born to eat and drink. Because if we act that way, we can't really do much else in life. And, you know, we wouldn't have any time to prepare for the hereafter, for our eternal lives. So we can't just waste all our time here and then tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment that we spent our whole life, most of our time, in the kitchen. Okay, it doesn't make sense. We need to eat to survive, and of course to take care of ourselves, and that's how we should handle it. That's how we should think of it. It shouldn't be the goal of our lives. The disciples said that it would be really good if they could get already prepared food, already cooked and ready to be eaten, to come down from the sky, since they used to wash people's clothes for a living because they were busy. And to satisfy our hearts. In what way? Well, they had believed in Isa alayhi salam, but they wanted their hearts to be even more content. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam had asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, we covered the ayat where he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how he brought the dead to life, even though he was a true believer, of course. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had asked him, don't you believe with certainty, O Ibrahim? And Ibrahim alayhi salam had said to him that he does believe, and he was certain, but he wanted to be content. He wanted his heart to be content, so he would be satisfied. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him about the birds. The story we read about in Surah Al-Baqarah. That's how the disciples asked for a table spread in a similar way, to satisfy their hearts. So they would know that Isa alayhi salam had been truthful to them all along about everything he told them. And they would know that the table spread was coming down from the sky because of his dua. وَنَعْلَمَ أَنْ قَدْ صَدَقَتَنَا, and to know that you have indeed told us the truth. They had believed, but they wanted to see the miracle with their own eyes. وَنَكُونَ عَلَيْهَا مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ, and that we become witnesses to it. We had seen it with our own eyes. They wanted to be able to think that they have seen it. So they planned to bear witness to Isa alayhi salam being true, and to convey the message, his message, to others. If we think about the companions of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know that they were so patient. So many times they were near starvation, but they didn't ask Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make dua for food. They never said that the Bani Israel had man and salwa come down from the sky. So they never questioned why he couldn't just make dua for food. Okay, and they knew that his dua would be accepted. They could have asked him to make dua for food, but they were just so patient. They never complained or requested Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask for such things, even though it would have been so doable. That is why they were chosen as the Sahaba of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course, that's why, because of all their efforts and for them being so steadfast, that's why they got glad tidings of Jannah while they were still alive in this life, even before they left this world. They proved that they deserve to be the honorable Sahaba of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They believed him and they trusted him, and they were so patient. As for the disciples of Isa alayhi salam, they said that they were asking for a table spread from the sky to be sure and see the miracle with their eyes, to know. They believed, but they did not have knowledge. They didn't have ilm. So we learn from this that iman, or faith, means to just believe. Even if someone doesn't have ilm, they can have iman. That's what the disciples had done. They didn't have knowledge, but they had faith. There are many knowledgeable people out there who don't believe. And then there are people with very little knowledge who firmly believe. So ilm is not necessary for belief. Okay, not everybody has to be very knowledgeable in order to believe. Iman just means to submit, to surrender, to admit the truth. And the real iman, or faith, is to believe without seeing. To believe in the ghaib while we're still alive. Because everyone believes once they, once death approaches. Qala Isa ibn Maryam. Isa alayhi salam said, the son of Maryam alayhi salam, he said, Allahumma rabbana anzil alayna ma'idatan min as-samaa. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, send us from heaven a table spread with food. When we put humma at the end of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, and we say Allahumma, it means, O Allah. We see that the Quranic du'as start out with Rabbana. And the Masnoon du'as, the ones that are from the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they start out with Allahumma. Here, Isa alayhi salam uses both words, Allahumma and Rabbana, meaning, O Allah, O our Lord. He says both things. That means that he was very stressed out. Okay, he was kind of stressed out. He was anxious. So he said both. He said, Allahumma Rabbana. O Allah, O our Lord. Okay. Many times people ask if they can make Quranic du'as while they're prostrating during prayer in sujood. We can make Masnoon du'as while we pray. Masnoon du'as are du'as from Sunnah. We can make those du'as while we pray. But we're not allowed to recite Quran in the sujood position. While we're doing sajda, we cannot recite the Quran. So we can't make the Quranic du'as exactly as they are while we're doing sajda. So we can change the Rabbana in the Quranic du'as to Allahumma. And then make those du'as. Then it's fine, because it's not the Quran anymore. It's different then, right? It becomes different. Like, for example, instead of saying, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azab an-nar, while we're prostrating, we can't say it that way, right? So we can say, Allahumma Rabbana atina, instead of Rabbana atina. So Isa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send down a table spread for his disciples from the sky. تَكُونُ لَنَا عِيدًا لِأَوَّلِنَا وَآخِرِنَا وَآيَةً مِّنْكَ so that it may mark a feast, a day of celebration for us, for those before us and for those after us. So he asked for a table spread, one of a kind for those before us and after us, he says. Eid means a happy day, a day of celebration, and it's actually a day to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we learn from this ayah. Okay, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we'll be grateful for it. Because Isa alayhi salam says that we will be grateful for it when you send it down for us. Okay, it'll be a day of celebration. So he said that they would celebrate and be thankful for their blessings. That's what we should do on Eid. When we celebrate Eid, we should be celebrating and we should be grateful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a happy day for us, a day of celebrating. So we should enjoy it and be thankful for it. We have to make the effort to plan and make Eid fun. Okay? Since it's connected to our deen. We can't say that, oh, Eid is boring, there's hardly anything to do. We have to make it fun. Just like we plan out everything else way ahead of time, we should plan out our activities for Eid and make it fun for ourselves and our children. So Isa alayhi salam asked for a table spread from the sky, so it would be a day of Eid for them and for their offspring who would come after them, so they can continue celebrating just as they do. وَآيَةً مِنْكَ and a sign from you. He says that it would be a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that Isa alayhi salam performed so many miracles, but he said that this would be a miracle for them and asked for this sign. وَرْزُقْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ and provide us our sustenance. You are the best sustainer. The ma'idah coming down from the sky is not the only sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see so many signs around us. Okay, even if we don't see the ma'idah coming down from the sky, there are so many other signs we see. We see how the crops grow from the earth and how the fruits hang from trees. These are all signs too. They are ma'idah. We see these around us all the time. So we shouldn't take these for granted. If we look at these things from that perspective, that they are all signs or miracles from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we become thankful for them. That's the only way we can be thankful. So the disciples asked for a table spread, and Isa alayhi salam made this dua. And we can also make dua for provision and say that he is the best of provider. Okay, Isa alayhi salam's dua shows how humble he was. That's how we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. Whenever we need to make dua and ask him for provision, make dua and then say, oh Allah, you are the best of providers, so provide for me, grant me sustenance. Isa alayhi salam was very humble, even though he was able to bring back the dead to life. Okay, but he always remembered that he was only able to do it by the permission of Allah. So a ma'idah from the sky, a table spread from the sky, would not have been such a big deal, right? Because he brought back the dead to life by the permission of Allah. So having the ma'idah come down is not so big compared to that, but he still made dua for it because he knew that he relied on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. He remembered that he was only able to perform the miracles he performed by the permission of Allah. He didn't question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask if he could send down a table spread. Instead, he said that Allah is the best of providers. He used such beautiful words to make dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here about what will happen on the Day of Judgment. Okay? That's what we're learning about, right? All these ayat are about things that are going to happen on the Day of Judgment. He's telling us about this dua so people who are Christians can know how Isa alayhi salam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. how he humbled himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it doesn't make sense for them to claim that he was God. How could he be God if he's making dua to God? He was not God. He believed in God just like the rest of us. And he depended on him for everything. He relied on him. He was not capable of doing anything without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that all the miracles Isa alayhi salam performed were bi-idhni, by my permission. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that over and over again. And the dua Isa alayhi salam made for the Maida showed that he relied on Allah for all his needs. He was not able to perform that miracle for the disciples on his own. He didn't even try. Qala Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied. He responded to Isa alayhi salam. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding Isa alayhi salam about what happened. Okay, he said, Inni munaziluha alaykum. Indeed, I shall send it down to you. He didn't have a problem sending down a table spread from the sky. It wasn't an issue to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he says, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بَعْدُ مِنْكُمْ. But if any of you disbelieve after that, after the Maida is sent down, فَإِنِّي أُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا لَا أُعَذِّبُهُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. Okay, so that's فَإِنِّي أُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا, then indeed I shall punish him with a punishment, لا أعذبه, that I have not punished like it, أهدن, anyone, من العالمين, from the world. So for people who saw the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they asked for, if they disbelieved, even after seeing those miracles, they were punished in a really bad way, okay, in a stern way. There were other miracles that Isa alayhi salam just performed, but this miracle was something the people demanded him to do, right? This is what they demanded. It wasn't just something he did by the permission of Allah. They asked for this. So it was more serious if they were not obedient even after seeing this miracle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned them ahead of time. He warned him. Just like the people of Thamud, right, who had asked for a she-camel as a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically. They asked for a she-camel. And when the camel was sent, they still disbelieved. So they were punished. And that's what happens when people ask for miracles and then they don't believe, even after seeing those miracles by the idhn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people were warned ahead of time about this. Now, as for the Maida, there's nothing authentic to prove whether it was sent down or not. Some say that it was sent down and had certain food items on it that they could eat, but they were told not to store it. Okay, that they could eat from the Maida, but don't store that food. But they became greedy. They were afraid that they may not get it again, so they started to steal from it and put it aside to store for later. So it was lifted and it never came down again after that. And we learned this from Israeli narrations, so we don't know if it's 100% true, but that's one thing about the Maida. And then on the other hand, some say that the Maida was not sent down at all. Why wasn't it sent down when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, yes, I can send it down for you, but then this would happen? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had set that condition, right? He said that if they did not listen, even after seeing the Maida, that miracle they asked for, then they would face a punishment that nobody ever faced before. And the prophets never asked for miracles after hearing that. Okay, when they heard that warning, they did not want that miracle to take place, because once the people had seen a miracle already, if they still disbelieved, they were punished. Okay, and their people had already seen so many miracles, and if someone still didn't listen, after seeing this miracle, then of course they would be punished in a way that nobody was ever punished before. So maybe Isa alayhi salam didn't ask for it after that. And the people who want to listen believe even without seeing any miracles. They don't need to see miracles. And as for those who don't want to, they don't believe even after seeing the miracles, witnessing the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they're shown to them directly. They would have presented excuses and said that this was magic too, just like they said before. And usually, they make a big deal out of any favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. But we never hear anything from the followers of Isa alayhi salam about this, right? We don't hear about the Maida, so we don't hear any mention of it, so it probably did not happen. Also, we learn from a Musnad Ahmad hadith that it's possible that the Maida was not sent, that it was probably not sent, because from a Musnad Ahmad hadith we learn that the Quraysh sent to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to turn Mount Safa to gold, and then they would believe in him. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked if they were really making a promise that they would really believe if it was turned to gold. And they said that they were, that they meant it. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua. The angel Jibreel appeared right away and he said, "O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says salam to you. And if you want, I can make Mount Safa turn to gold. But if they still disbelieve, then I'll punish them in a way that nobody was ever punished before. I can do it. But if they stop, I can, and if they stop the asking for it, if they change their mind and don't ask for that miracle, I can keep a door of Tawbah and Rahmah open for them." Okay, Tawbah means to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Rahmah means mercy. Okay, and that door, Angel Jibreel said that he would keep open of Tawbah, of seeking forgiveness, and Rahmah, mercy, would stay open for them until the day of judgment or until death of that person approaches. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Tawbah and Rahmah, for forgiveness and mercy for his people. Since Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Rahmatul lil Alameen, he was Rahmah for all the people of the world. He was mercy upon mankind, right? So he chose Tawbah and Rahmah. He didn't ask to be able to perform that miracle, because he wanted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness for his ummah. Because of his choice, because of him choosing mercy and forgiveness for us, we have that door of Tawbah and Rahmah open for us till the time of death. Okay, until we die. Allahu Akbar. And when a person is about to die, the soul leaves the feet first and then from the top. So when the death pangs take over, until then, that door is open. We should rush to seek forgiveness and mercy, because so many people, young people, are dying around us, right? Suddenly, we hear about young people, middle-aged people dying. When before, we often heard about only the elderly dying more often. So we should do tawbah, turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before it's too late. And that door closes at the time of death. And once it closes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away that chance from us, okay, to turn back to Him. He is calling us back to Himself now while we are still alive. So we should take advantage of this opportunity while we have time before it runs out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only approves of people who turn back to Him while they're still alive. Not after death, because everyone will know after death and they want to return to Him. Okay, they want to turn back, they want to reform, but then it's too late. Remember, even Pharaoh wanted to reform. He wanted to say that he believes when he was about to drown, but it's too late. May he allow us to turn back to him before it's too late. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Inshallah, we'll finish up here for today. And we will continue with the rest of the ayat that are connected to this next week. Inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتوب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته